Your mic today. Good morning, everyone. Are we ready for the word this morning? The last 2 weeks have really been good, haven't they? But really, we're very honored. This is a man that knows God's word, and that's what counts, Father God, the heart. And Lord, we thank you for him. So let's say a fast prayer. Thank you, Father God. Just continue to pour out your blessings, Father God. We know he's prepared, Father God, so I pray for us. Just open our mind, ears, and heart, Father God, and let this go through it right to our feet that we can walk out, Father God, these words that you give to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All
yours, sir. Thank you very much. My privilege to be here this morning to be with you. Is there any questions on anything that we have talked about up until this point? That's right. Mr. Know-it-all.
Shows what a good teacher you are.
Yeah, right. Maybe the word fell on the hard heart and didn't just fell off and didn't even...
Could you clarify your statement from last week?
Oh, yes, right. Last week I made this statement about your walk, talks, and blah, 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 and I couldn't get it straight. Well, hot off the press, I do have exactly what I meant to say. And if you want copies of it, it is on Pastor Don's computer.
I'll be selling them.
Yeah. Your walk and your talk. Your walk talks. And your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Hold on. Everybody was saying last week was better than last week.
You ain't getting it, it means that your words, you know, exactly. And then I hear, no, but it's not as, you know, it's not as catchy as this. And forget about it. Okay, we handed out some readings for today. We're going to be talking about the two foundations or metaphors be with you. Get it?
And also with you.
Metaphors be with you. Like, may the force be with you. Yeah, but your talk talks. Okay, can somebody please, who has Matthew 7:24-29?
Matthew 7:24-29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Luke 6. Metaphors be with you. Luke.
Hey, we have it right here.
Luke.
Luke 6:46-49. If your walk does not talk as loud as your talk talks.
I'm walking out.
Why I lock the doors.
Yeah. All right. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
Thank you. and 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15.
Right here.
Thank you.
By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames.
Thank you. So obviously we're talking about foundations. Every one of us here in this room are building our lives on something. We're trying to build a family. We're trying to build maybe our bank account, our portfolio. Every one of us here are living on somebody's word. I mean, you ask people out in the world about their philosophy in life, and they'll tell you what it's all about. It's like a friend of mine, he was an addict like myself, and by the grace of God, I was able to get him into Wayne County Community College when they first started. And one of the classes was at Northwestern High School, if you know where that is.
Yep.
Northwestern Field, by the old Olympia. And so they're asking everybody's philosophy in the class. And he stood up and he goes, "Everything is everything." And that was his philosophy. And of course, he was the only white kid in the class. You bad, you know, give him a five. But all of us are building our house on something. There are two choices. Either you're building your house on sand or you're building it upon the rock. There's no in between. You know, Jesus says you're either gathering or scattering. You're either walking in the light or walking in the darkness. You know, Jesus doesn't throw any shade. You're either one or the other. You're either gathering or scattering, walking in the light. You're for me or you're against me. Jesus said, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, we can get up there and praise the Lord and clap our hands and dance and click our heels, but what are we really building our house on? What are we building our foundation? What is our foundation? You notice that it says the rock is not, and the rock is the words of Jesus and Jesus himself. But you notice it doesn't say that it's going to shield us from the rain.
Right.
It's going to help us maintain. That if we build a house upon a rock, it doesn't say that we'll miraculously turn into a mansion or that we're going to be glowing in the dark. But when the storms come, and the storms don't, they come, don't they?
Yep.
You know, when I was before I started following Jesus, you know, I had my share of problems. But now that I'm a follower of Messiah, I got more problems now than I ever had. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing, because those are the things that purify us. The only way we're going to grow in Jesus is through trials and tribulations. I don't know, maybe I'm missing something. Well, yeah, I've been accused of that. I mean,
don't ask that question.
Don't touch that dial. But that's the only way that I grow. Paul talks about in Romans 5 about, you know, tribulation bringeth forth patience. You know, character, proven character. And the few of you that I've really gotten to meet so far, you've all proven to me that you're characters. There's no doubt about it. I've been. So there's no doubt about it. But we need to ask the question, if we're going to be good, I guess, Bible studiers or halfway theologians, when we're reading something, as I got in my outline here, context. We need to ask the question, where are we at in the Word? What has just transpired before these words that Jesus uttered? The Sermon on the Mount. He said, you know, who is blessed? We talked about salt and light. He talks about our, you know, our righteousness being greater than the Pharisees. He talks about how that we just don't follow Jesus or follow, say we're following the Lord just on the surface. That he says, if you lust, you know, you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. He talks about those things. He talks about practicing our righteousness before men. He talks about fasting. He talks about serving two masters. It talks about worry. I really believe worry is the eighth deadly sin. Worry. I mean, that I read somewhere where worry is like being in a rocking chair. Feels like you're going somewhere, but you're not. And I have to admit, that's one of my deadly sins, is worry. I worry too much. I worry about things, and 95% of the time, they never even happen. But some people think it's a gift, but I know it's not. But so he is saying here, so all of these things, the cure for anxiety, about judging others, about the golden rule, the narrow and wide gate, the false prophets. He's saying, so everyone who hears these words of mine is building his house on a rock. Let's quickly, 10 of Uncle Milty's Bible study helps. Yeah, that's one of my nicknames. I know that shows my age. Some of you may not remember Milton Berle as a kid. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 60s. I'm in my 70s, and back in the day, keep going. No, that's I was talking about my IQ. You know, his motto was he never met a joke he wouldn't steal. And I've kind of lived by that philosophy pretty much most of my life. But I think that there's a way, if you want to be a serious student of the Bible, and I'm not saying this is, you know, prophetic. You may think it's pathetic, but these are my personal rules. If you really want to be a Bible student, if you really want to know the Word of God, if you really want to dig deep, if you want to lay your house on a true foundation, these are the things I suggest. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. It's like Matthew 7, Luke 6. You compare text against text. The best commentary on the gospel is another gospel. We talked about the synoptic gospels. But even in John, there are a couple things that are familiar. You know what miracle Jesus performs that's in every gospel outside of the resurrection? Feeding of the 5,000. The message is God provides. Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh, provides. He provides. That's the message. That's the message of the Gospels. If it's an, you know, that's where one of the laws I have, law number 4, pay attention to the law of repetition, words in a text. Example, the sower of the seed, listen and hear, is mentioned 9 times in 20 verses. Number 3, pay attention to the law of contrast. An example, the Pharisees' law versus Jesus' mercy. The law, there is the law of first mention, which at times is difficult to know or find. Example, tithing, first mention, being given before the law was given in Genesis 14. Melchizedek tithed. I mean, Abraham tithed before King Melchizedek. Always check your findings on teaching or doctrine with a solid believer who will not just give you an answer you want to hear. Find a good commentary that gives you more than one view of a text. Example on tongues, the commentary gives the Pentecostal, Calvinistic, non-denominational insights on the text, not just their bias or opinion on an issue. Be aware of the law of parallels. They are mostly found in the poetic sections of Scripture. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. See Psalm 118, 8 through 9. In other words, the poetic books, which Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon are considered, and maybe Ecclesiastes too, is that when they say something, they repeat it, but say it in a different way. Know the importance of the law of context, like in real estate, location, location, location. Same with the truth. You are gathering from the text is supported by the surrounding text that you are reading. That's oh so important, people. I cannot emphasize that enough. I know I've said it before. It's like the preacher who preaches a sermon, new preacher, comes to this church. Second week, you know, everybody, hey, that's a great sermon. Second week, he preaches the same sermon. People are kind of scratching their head, wondering what's going on. So the third week, he preaches the same sermon. So finally, the elders get the chutzpah up to, that's a Yiddish word for guts, to go talk to him. Hey, pastor, what's the deal about preaching that sermon 3 weeks in a row? He says, as soon as I see somebody doing it, I'll stop preaching it. We need. That's why, and it's great here. Notice verse 24. What is the first word there? Therefore. That's another law that should be added. I should add in there. The law of therefore. What is the therefore? Therefore. It's therefore for you to look back at the text. What has preceded before it? How does that relate to what Jesus is saying? What does Jesus mean that if you hear my words and you obey them? What words are there? The words of the Beatitudes, salt and light. That's what he's talking about. That's how we're to, you know, I don't want to sound, I mean, to me, that's how you read the Bible. If you want to start a cult, take a text out of it, out of context and bada boom, bada bing, that's where you can go. David Koresh, you can run off and go do your thing. So, if you look at your sheet, any questions on that? Looking at the sheet, therefore law needs to be added. Every time we bump into the word therefore, we need to ask the question, what is a therefore therefore? Another perfect example is Romans 12:1. Paul has talked about God's mercy, God's forgiveness, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 1:1 through 11 till the end of chapter 11 talks about, Abraham trusting God by faith. It's not by works of righteousness that we're saved. He talks about all he goes, therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God. Therefore, what all has God has done for us, therefore, our only option really as believers is to be sold out for Jesus. Sold out 100%. In the words of Wilson Pickett, 99.5 just won't do. God wants 100. 100%. He doesn't want any part-time lovers. He wants full-time, totally committed to him. That's what the call of the gospel is. Getting ahead of myself because I think that's what's going to be my message next Sunday. You're going to be double blessed or doubled whatever, double the pleasure, double the fun. I'm going to be preaching next Sunday and teaching the class, so don't want to go anywhere where I don't want to. And there in Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation for them that are in Messiah Jesus. He's talked about in Romans 7. What can save me? The good I want to do, I can't do, and the bad I don't want to do, I do. What can save me from this? All of us experience that. We all struggle. At least I do. Struggle with the flesh. Struggle with the world. We struggle with Satan's attack on our lives. But that is such good news that there is no condemnation for them that are in Messiah Jesus. Satan may say, you're a real bum, Milton. And I say back, yeah, but you know, that may be true, but Jesus still loves me anyway.
Amen.
Jesus still forgives me anyway when I ask him.
Yep.
We need to use the truth, the belt of truth. Some of us aren't walking around with a belt of truth. Our pants are, you know, are falling down. Because we're not wearing the belt of truth. We don't know the truth. Know the truth, Jesus says, and it'll set you free. And some of us are still in bondage, unfortunately. Okay. Jesus uses two as an example opposed to each other in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about two masters, God versus mammon. He talks about two gates, one's narrow, one's wide. He talks about two roads, one's broad, one's narrow. He talks about two trees, false prophets, and ones who are really building God's word. So we have two builders or two foundations. The hearers of Jesus' word have two options for foundation of life, rock or sand. There is absolutely no gray area. There is no fence to straddle following Jesus. You're either following him or you're not following him. I didn't say that. Jesus says that. No weekend warriors. That's what we used to call back in the dope days. You know, that guy, he uses heroin just on the weekend. So he's a weekend warrior. But he ain't no mainliner. But that's what Jesus wants. He wants you to mainline him. That we need to seriously follow him. Sure, we're going to fall. Sure, we're going to go in the wrong direction. Sure, we're going to blow it. That's where forgiveness is at. If the Lord was to mark iniquities, who of us would be able to stand? But there's plenteous mercy with thee, O Lord. So there's forgiveness. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. Are we making progress in our walk with Jesus? We need to ask ourselves today. Because either you're making progress or you're walking backwards. Or as they commonly call it, backsliding. And some of us come to church and we're backsliding like a mug. We're going through the motions. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Good sermon today, Pastor Don. Don't know what it was about, but good sermon. Good sermon, Pastor John. Too bad I'm not going to practice any of it. Hallelujah. No. That's not how it goes. That's not how it rolls. We have two options. We're building either we're right now today, just like we were talking about being here as the sower of the seed. We're one of those four pieces of ground. Today, Jesus narrows it down to two things. Either you're building your foundation on the rock or you're building it on sand. Do you notice in the circumstances that the rain, the flood, and the winds come on everybody? Not, this idea, well, once you get saved, you're not going to have any problems. I don't know what planet that they're living on. But there's a thing called the flesh. There's a thing called, a person called the devil, who's not equal with God, but he'll harass us. He'll hunt us down. I'll be honest with you. Today, I haven't done it in a long time, but teaching at one place and preaching at another place was putting me through the flux. That's right. Yeah. But I noticed that. Notice how the rain falls. It comes down from the top. The floods come along the side and along the bottom, and the winds come along the side. It comes from every direction. You just don't know when trouble is going to come upon us, do we? It'll come in the mail. What are you talking about? I didn't pay that bill. Man, I don't have that kind of money. or the bill comes from your mortgage company. It's about the escrow Indians. Remember the Three Stooges? They were fighting against the escrow Indians. But it'll come via phone call or whatever. It can come from anywhere. Trouble, sickness, your family. I mean, as a pastor, that just cuts right to the heart. Or I'm retired. You don't ever retire. I mean, obviously, I'm still very active in ministry, and I love doing it, and I love this opportunity, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to be with you and share with you my heart and where I'm at. My batting order is Jesus first, Jesus second, and Jesus third. That's what it's all about. That's, you know, we got to put him first. But I'm building my house on the sand because these troubles are going to come. And how we build our house on the sand, as it talks about in Luke 6, is about obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Anyone who says he loves me and doesn't do his commandments, John comes right out and says, is a liar. Come on, John, tell us how you really feel. We need to build our house upon a rock. The rock is something, and it's not Dwayne Johnson, by the way. Finally, the rock has come back to Downriver Christian Community Church. But to build on a rock, it's mentioned throughout the Old Testament. Even Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians 10 about the rock was Jesus. When he tapped the water out of the rock. The rock was something solid. The psalmist says, take me to a rock that is higher than I. It was a place of protection. A place where God's people. You look in Psalm 61, Psalm 62, Deuteronomy 32. All these talk about the rock is something solid. That's what we need to build our house upon. A solid foundation. And Luke says, we've got to dig deep to build our foundation. It takes work to do it. We have to work it. As they say in the 12-step groups, it works because you work it. Nothing changes because nothing changes. You need to dig deep. Now, is that opposed to grace? Well, I thought we were saved by grace. I thought we didn't really have to do any work. Well, Jesus was teaching in John chapter 6, and a bunch of people came to him and they said, what do we got to do the works of God? Because their religion was built on doing works. In the Hebrew, the word is mitzvahs, doing good works. And he says, this is the work of God, to believe on him who he has sent, to have faith, to trust and obey. I love that old hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you don't know anything about him, there is PBS has a movie about him, and I remember when Stacy Keach played Martin Luther, Bonhoeffer, he was a Lutheran pastor, and he says, trust and obey are just other sides of the same coin. When you trust, you're going to obey. If you're obeying, that means you're trusting. They're both the same. You cannot oppose them. They are the same thing. But we need to trust. I mean, I look back of all the sermons and teachings that I've done, and it seems like almost every one of them boils down to that fact, trusting and obeying. That we need to trust God in these vile times that we live in this crazy world that we live in. In the midst of all this, it's a storm. But in the midst of all that, I'm going to keep on trucking, brothers and sisters. Despite what is the old hymn? Though none go with me, I still will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. And every day we need to decide to follow Jesus. Are you going to follow Jesus today? That's all that matters. Tomorrow is behind us. We can't do anything about that except maybe ask for forgiveness. And what's going to happen in the future is totally out of our hands. But today, we need to trust and obey. Despite the circumstances, despite the rain coming down and the wind and the flood and all these things happening to us, we need to trust and obey. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 tells us we're saved by grace. It's through faith, which is not of ourselves. It's not by works that at least any man shall boast. But then Paul goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship, which means in the Greek, means you're like God's poem. And that we're created in him to do good works. We are to do good works. And when we're doing good works, we're building a sure foundation because the storms will surely come, the floods will surely come, the winds will surely come. That's what will happen. We need to build our house on the rock. Jesus' authority was talked about briefly. Just want to touch on that. It says, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, as his teaching was not as them having authority, not like the scribes. His teaching had authority. He wasn't quoting other rabbis. He wasn't quoting other Pharisees. He wasn't quoting any right. His words were the words of God. He spoke with authority. He didn't come up and say, well, Rabbi Moshe Pifchik said, that means fat belly in Yiddish. said so-and-so about this, and he said so-and-so about that. No, Jesus didn't speak that way. He spoke with authority. His words were God's words. This is written, I'll close with this. This is written by an author, a fellow named Dick Bieber. He was a pastor of a church in Southwest Detroit for 30 years. He discipled me. And he's got all kinds of these little booklets, but he says, whoever hears these words of mine, have we heard them? Have we actually taken them in, these words of Jesus? Is it possible to sit in church for a lifetime, listen to the gospel readings week after week, and never truly hear? But there comes a moment when suddenly those words of Jesus hit us with a supernatural force and wake us up. Now it's no longer just words, but a word addressed to me. He's speaking to me. When this happens, we understand what it means to hear his words. Now we have heard. And once you've heard the word, you can never unhear them. You are now under a light that will follow you the rest of your days on earth. You will pretend that you haven't heard them. You will insist that you do not understand them. You might tell yourself that you're giving it some thought. But the words of the crucified and risen one will cling to your soul and will never let you go. These words are your salvation. These words are your healing. They are life. If you do them, if you hear these words of mine and fail to do them, these words become your judge. Whoever hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a wise man who builds a house upon the rock. But I thought I was saved through grace, through faith. Am I saved by what I do? Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, if you have faith, you truly believe in Jesus, you will do his commands. To say I believe in Jesus and fail to do his commands is pseudo-faith. It's faith built on sand. Whoever hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Sooner or later, the rains, the floods, and the winds blow will beat against our faith. If our faith survives the storm, it's because we acted on the words, we did them. If our faith disintegrates, it's because his word never got beyond our ears. To hear his word is a supreme gift from the living God. The gift becomes ours. These words become ours only when we do them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. That's it. Do we have pseudo faith or do we have real faith? I pray that you go out of here with real faith today. Father, we just thank you for this gathering. I thank you for these saints. And I pray that each one would, who is building their house on sand, whether consciously or unconsciously, would begin to see the foolishness of their ways. That we would build our house upon the rock, upon the words of Jesus, upon the person of Jesus. And that we would live fruitful lives in your kingdom, bringing you praise, honor, and glory. And we ask it, Hashem, Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Amen.